It's wonderful to be here back to, I would always say, back home. The reason is this is the first church that opened up doors for me to be related with Sovereign Grace Ministries. This is the door for us to enter into Sovereign Grace Ministries. And I have seen the church growth year after year. Good to see some of our friends. I recognize those faces. And I have seen the growth year after year. Every time I came here, it is different. And it's beautiful, very beautiful. I remember the having the service in a little room in a mall. How many of you were there? Wonderful. So preaching there and then moving here. I came and saw the land before you got this building. We bought it. So I walked here. I prayed over this. And I heard these ladies talking, maybe we need to rent half of this building. And I remember saying, no, you need all this building for the work of the Lord. God is going to expand this work. And just to see today, all this building is being used. All the land is being used. It blesses me. It blesses me to see what God can do through ordinary people who are willing to do His will and willing to be in the center of His will. So I'm so thrilled to see the new building, all the new road there, the new sign-up board there, and we used to come from here. There used to be a road here, but now this is changed. And all the parking lots, we don't have that word in English in India. So all the parking lots there, and you know, it blesses me, friends. I have seen the growth, gradual growth of the church, and we really fall in love with this congregation. As I said, friends, I mean, this is the church God used me to get to know the Sovereign Grace Ministries and to be friends with so many pastors in Sovereign Grace Ministries now. We have lots of them came to India. Majority, not all, but majority of the senior pastors of different churches came to India. And pastors, team after team, came to serve, help us, teaching to our pastors. And we have the medical teams that came to India, the teenagers that came and stayed long-term with us for 2 months, 3 months. So it's been a wonderful walking together for the purposes of God. And all that was done because of this small church that met in a small room in a mall 13 years ago. So God is good. It's God's goodness and mercy towards us. Yes, Phil mentioned, you know, Phil came to India 2 times. So I'm asking him to come in January, February next year, if God willing. We would be honored to have Phil with us in India. So thank you for your prayers, for your friendship, and this relationship which God has given to us. I 100% believe this relationship is not started from a man. It's definitely started from God. And it has grown so deep into our hearts. So it's so good to see you, friends. Traveling with my family, with the 2 children, they went to the Sunday school. And we will be traveling in States for 4 more weeks. And we will be going to 2 weeks to Canada to minister there and to see our family there. So I appreciate your prayers. We have a lot of traveling on the roads, driving. So we appreciate your prayers. So this morning, you know, I want to share, as the worship has been going and the words of encouragements are coming, I want to encourage you, friends, and to continue this good work which the Lord has started in your hearts. And I want to tell maybe 10, 15 minutes, because we have other things to do. And a story from John chapter 9. And I hope that this will encourage you, friends, what God can do through a very ordinary people like you and me. And because of who he is, what he can do, he does great things through our lives. Chapter 9, I will read a few verses from verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. Thy servants are hearing. We want to know your heart. We want to do your will. Help us, Lord, to be what you desire us to be in our lives and through our lives. Bless us this morning with your presence, with your power. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the story. And as Christians, we read, we heard. But I want to share a few things. What God can do through a people like this man who was born blind. And he was not only born blind, but he was also a beggar. He was a poor man, having no hope and the miserable life. But it so happened, in God's mercy, Jesus was passing by. Actually, we know how God divinely ordains everything. The last verse of chapter 8 is the continuation of the first verse of chapter 9. The last verse in chapter 8 says, Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, it's a continuation of what was happening. Jesus, they wanted to kill Jesus, stone him to death there. And he escaped from there, the Bible says. And he was passing by, and in God's mercy, he saw this man who was born blind. I don't think it was accidental for Jesus to pass by out of the temple to go to this man who was born blind. Jesus knows everything. You know, he's aware of what was going to happen, what is happening. So for my understanding, he might have gone there just for this blind man, because this blind man needs mercy, needs love, needs his grace. And Jesus passed by, and his disciples saw this blind man. And the blind man might have never seen this because he was blind. But the disciples had seen him. Jesus might have already seen him even before the disciples saw him. When they saw him, their immediate reaction was, they went to Jesus. And they asked Jesus, Jesus, who sinned for this man to be born blind? This man or his parents? Amazing the way Jesus answered. How Jesus sees things from God's perspective. So it's so different how people perceive things and how God sees things. It's the same situation, a man who was born blind, who is a beggar. Jesus is seeing from one angle, and the disciples are seeing the same situation from another angle. And they, when they saw him, their immediate reaction was, like, who sinned? And Jesus' reaction was, nobody. They sinned. It's not he didn't born because of his sins or his parents' sins. He was born that the name of God will be glorified. The very purpose God sent me into this world will be fulfilled. I want you to understand the heart of Jesus here towards the people that need help. He's looking, moving, traveling to see, to meet with the people and to meet with their needs. The heart of love, the heart of compassion. He's on a mission to see the needs. That's the Bible says he came to seek, not only just to save, but to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus was on a very important mission of his life, sent by his Father. He wants to totally obey his Father and fulfill the desire of his Father. That's why many times he says, I'm here to do the will of my Father. The will of his Father who sent him was to seek and to save that which was lost. And this blind man was already hurting. Miserable life. Blindness is a miserable life. So he doesn't need any more words of condemnation on him. He needs some people to love on him. Some people to encourage him. Some people to say, hey, I can help you. I can do something for you. You know, one wonderful thing with the Sovereign Grace Ministries is, you know, one common sentence, man, you all use, how can I serve you? How can I serve you? Wherever you go to Sovereign Grace Ministries, even sometimes the children come to us, and how can I serve you? It always amazes me, the language. You know, how can we serve you? Looking for opportunities to serve is the heart of God. That's the character of Jesus Christ. But you know, many times we are weak. You know, these disciples left everything to follow Jesus. They sacrificed everything. They left the boats. They left their livelihood. They left their parents. They left the nets. They left everything and followed Jesus. Still, in our weaknesses, in our human weaknesses, we forget the very purpose we are called to do. Though they were disciples, they almost missed the mark there. It is a divine opportunity given by God. It just came on their way. They saw him. They saw the need. He was blind. And they have seen Jesus moving with love and compassion. They have seen Jesus doing miracles. They have seen Jesus raising the dead man to life. I don't know how many miracles Jesus did by then. And they watched it. They were with Jesus. They have seen. They were a part of it. But still, they missed that. They might have. They missed the wonderful opportunity in their life. You know, for me as a not only a believer, as a minister, you know, I would think they will think, when they saw him, they might have had a compassion on him and came to Jesus, recommending to Jesus, Jesus, we saw a blind man there. Would you please help him? We have seen so many times you helped people. But instead, they come up with words of condemnation and also judgment. But Jesus, his heart, you know, I like the heart of Jesus. He's a man of compassion. Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, when he has seen the people scattered without shepherd, he was moved with compassion. So the heart of Jesus, that's what God desires from our lives. When we see the people who are in need, God expects us to move with the compassion, with the love of God. Because we are also saved sinners. We know the life being living in sin with no hope, no joy, no peace, no relationship with the living God. We are alienated from the family of God. You know, as Phil was sharing, introducing the new members, you know, we are coming into a family. We care for each other. We love each other. We pray for each other. You know, as Jim, you know, talking about the needs of the people who are in the hospital, that concern, you know, preparing food, taking food, praying for them, visiting them. We are a family here. We care for each other. It's not just, you know, coming and going. It's a relationship. So Jesus is so relational when he saw, he didn't want to lose any divine opportunity in his life that God brings them. And he says, I must work the works of him that sent me when it is still day. Because he realized the night is coming when no man can work. When we still have an opportunity, there are people that need help, that do not know the love of Jesus around us, that are living in sin, on their way to hell. Somebody needs to meet them, to talk to them that Jesus loves them and died for them. There's Daniel singing that song of worshiping the Lord, you know, seeing the glimpse of that eternity. What a privilege, friends, to be a part of that worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and being with him forever and ever. He has those 24 elders kneeling down worshiping. That's where everybody was watching who would open that roll. And look, you know, just this Jesus coming and opening the seal. There's a Lamb of God that came not only to be slain for the sins of the whole world, but going to reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lion of Judah. And you know, when you think of that, worshiping him, being with him forever and ever in his holiness, in his holy presence, how can you forget there are people who do not know that truth? The only reason, friends, you are growing is because there are some people who are sharing the gospel here. There are some people that are sharing the love of God with the people. I want to encourage you this morning, keep doing it. Even the blind man was healed. I mean, I read only a few verses, but if you read the rest of the chapter, go back home, read the rest of the chapter, that will encourage you to do what we can do as an ordinary people. What we can do, what an impact we can make on the lives of the people in the community, not just one person or a family. The man who was born blind, who was a beggar, made such an impact on the whole community after he got his eyes back. When he got his eyes back, there was a big discussion there. Everybody was involved in that discussion. It started with his neighbors, verse 8. It says, the neighbors therefore, and they who before seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I am he. When God touches somebody, when God saves a soul, the change that takes place in their lives draws attention of everybody. They can see you, friend. Jesus can be seen in and through our lives. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was a sinner, but by the grace of God, I am saved today. Once I was an alcoholic, I am no more. Once I was doing that, but no more. Because of the change that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. As the Bible says, but therefore, if there is anyone in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when he got his eyes back, when he had the touch of Jesus on his life, not only he got his eyes back, his lifestyle was changed. He was not begging anymore. What a change, friends. Rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. When you look at the cross, the blood that was shed cleanses in and out. It changes us altogether. And the blind man was drawing attention of everybody here. The neighbors has a big discussion on him now. What's happened to this man? Are you the same man? No, some says, no, he looks like the other man. But he says, I am the same man. You know what happened? I met Jesus on the way. Jesus spat on the ground. He anointed my eyes with the dirt. He said, go on, wash. And I washed, and I got my eyes back. When Jesus touches somebody, they are different people. And it didn't stop there. Then the Pharisees came into the scene. The religious sect of the people watching this blind man, they could not deny the fact that he was once blind, now he could see. But somehow they want to find fault with Jesus because he did it on the day of Sabbath. I mean, see the mentality of the people. I would think they would be happy for this man that he could able to see now. But they were sad because Jesus did that on the day of Sabbath. Religion can blind us. Religion can blind us. Legalism can blind us. These Pharisees, they were trying to find fault. They went to him and said, you know, who did it? He said, by somebody by name Jesus. What do you think about him? He's a prophet. He's not just an ordinary man. They went to him again. They asked him, who did it? What do you think about that Jesus? He's not just a man by name Jesus. He's not just a prophet. But he says, you know, I was amazed how he has grown in his relationship with the Lord. He has grown day after day in his relationship. He understood Jesus more day by day. First he said, somebody by name Jesus. He has not seen him, he only heard of him by then. When the Pharisees came and asked him more questions, then he says, he must be a prophet. It says in verse 17. It says he was a prophet. In verse 11 it says, he said, he's somebody by name Jesus. In verse 17 he says, no, he's not just a man. They say unto the blind man, again, what sayest thou of him, since he has opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. He must be someone who can hear from God, who can declare the things of God to the people of God. He's not just an ordinary man by name Jesus. He must be a little deeper than that. That's all he understood who Jesus was by then. And they questioned him again. You know, they asked him again and again. And he says in verse 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. I want you to see this gradual growth in this man who was born blind and a beggar. He's understanding Jesus more intimate way, deeper way. Knowing Jesus more transforms us, our lives, friends. When you relate Jesus, when you know Jesus, day after day in our walk with the Lord, in our prayer life, in our Bible study, in our holy life, in righteousness, you know, knowing Jesus helps us to live a better Christian life for the glory of the Father in heaven. And then, you know, I like this. I want to read this, verse 27. He answered them because they were asking him questions again and again. I will read you that, verse 26 also. Then said they to him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already. So he has been doing that, telling people what Jesus has done for him. I have told you already. And you did not hear. Why would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? I mean, the people who looked him down as a beggar and a blind man, his desire for them is, you want to be his disciples? I want you to be his disciples. It's wonderful to be a disciple of Jesus. His desire for them, there's no prejudice there. He was not looking them down because they looked him down. His desires for them is, you be a disciple of Jesus. It's wonderful to be a disciple of Jesus. He changes lives. He gives peace. He gives joy. He gives eternal life. There's a forgiveness with Jesus. And you can have a joyful life with Jesus. Jesus gave me. He can give it to you. You want to hear again? He was not tired of telling them again and again. And you read that word again, 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 many times in these few verses. They asked him again. He told them again. Don't be tired of sharing the gospel again and again, my friends. There are people that need to hear that. The God of this age has blinded the eyes of the people. Sometimes they need to hear the second time. Hear the third time. But every hit will have an effect. Every time we share the gospel, it will open their hearts a little bit more, a little bit more. As this man has grown by somewhere, a blind, born, blind beggar, to someone by name Jesus. Then walk a little more. He said, no, he's not just Jesus. He's a prophet. Walk a little further with Jesus. And he says, God hears him and he hears God. And he must be a worshiper of God. He must be a sinless being. And again, at the end, you know, in verse 35, 36, I would read that. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered, no, I like this King James version. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. See the gradual growth of this blind, born blind beggar. He became a worshiper of God. Said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And his desire, even before he saw Jesus face to face, worshipped Jesus, his desire for the Pharisees, his desire, his parents. No, they went and asked his parents, is he your son? Yes. The neighbors were involved. His parents were involved. The whole community of involved. And everybody noticed the big change because of one blind man's faith in Jesus Christ. What an impact we can make in the community, my friends, as believers in Jesus Christ. As we follow him, as we worship him, as we surrender our lives to him, as we say, Lord, we believe in you. We are saying with our mind, with our soul, with our body, we are surrendering ourselves totally, unconditionally to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe. I am surrendering my life to you today, Jesus. I've only known you. Yes, it's someone by name Jesus. I have only seen you as a prophet. I have only understood you as a worshiper of God. But now I know you are not just a worshiper. You are to be worshipped. And I worship you, Jesus. I surrender myself totally. And I am here to worship you, Lord, my God. What a change. What a change. If a born blind beggar can do that, friends, God can also help us to do that. If he can bring such a commotion in the community, everybody was involved in talking about him. That's what Jesus does when he meets with us as a sinners. He not only changes us inside, people also can see outside. It's wonderful he could able to see, but the more wonderful thing is his soul was being saved. Jesus cleansed his sins on the cross, the blood that he was shed on the cross. And that blood is available even today. That blood is available. That blood is available. There are people that need that blood. And God has been so faithful in my life, my friends. I may share some as my brother Phil is going to ask me some questions. But it's so wonderful. I was an alcoholic, drug. I was not in drugs. There were no drugs in India at that time. I was involved in gangs. I was a communist, atheist, signed with my blood. Literally to the point of killing people. But Jesus, in his mercy, he visited me when I was 24. Nobody could believe the change that took place in my life. Yes, he met Saul on the way to Damascus. He met me. He revealed himself to me. I have seen the shape of a man hanging on the cross, very far in the sky. I saw the nail in his hand, blood drop after drop coming down. My Jesus spoke to me that day. He didn't call me alcoholic. He didn't call me communist. He didn't call me a murderer. But he called me son. What a Jesus we have. How do we understand this guy? He looks at the greatest sinner of the sinners. A man who's a problem to the community. He looks at him and calls him son. And says, I have done all this for you. What will you do for me? That word son broke my heart, brought tears to my eyes. I was sitting there crying like a baby, the conviction of sin upon me. And I gave my heart to the Lord. It was around 1:30 in the noontime, 1976, January 26. I'm never the same again. The Lord changed me. And I'm here with you, my friends, sharing this good news with you. This has a power. The gospel has a power to transform the lives, to change the communities. God uses people like you and me, ordinary people, a blind man who was a beggar, and brings such a spiritual revolution in the whole community, his parents, his neighbors, the Pharisees, and everybody. And God glorified his name through that man. If God can do with him, he can do with us. And we have a little DVD that helps you to understand as an introduction, that you can watch it. And I want you to watch the DVD before my brother and me come back with the questions and answers. God bless you, friends. Thank you.
Yesu Padam, called appropriately Yesu Padam. His name means the foot of Jesus. And we have this on sale at the bookstore. It's written by Terry Whitaker, who was a member here for a number of years, Dan Stoldorf's oldest daughter. So Terry's book is available at the bookstore. And please, if you want to know more about Yesu Padam's really quite remarkable testimony, his conversion and the vision that he has for particularly the tribal regions of eastern India, really encourage you to do that. Yesu Padam, thank you again for coming. I just want for these folks to know, we got a little bit of a glimpse at looking at the slideshow, but exactly what would be or the scope of the types of ministries that Love and Care provides.
Oh man, it has a lot of wings to this. We have the children homes. It's like an orphanages. We have 500 children with us. We started a Christian schools and colleges. We have a nursing school, and we also have a Christian junior college. We have the Christian hospital. We have a program for the disabled, polio-affected disabled young adults. We are training them in computers, tailoring, printing press, to make them self-supportive, because they were looked down in the community. Nobody takes care of them. So God laid them in my heart. And we also have a printing press. We translated The Cross Center Life, the book which C.J. Mahaney has written here in English. We translated that book into Telugu in our language, and we made 10,000 copies. They are gone. So we print a lot of literature there, tracts. We are using that not only to do that, but also to train these disabled people in that, to make them self-supportive. We started a computer center to not only serve the ministry, but also the local community. And we use all these venues to share the gospel with them. We have a recording studio. Indians like music. So we change the messages into songs. And tapes are gone out, you know. So we also have the old age home that we are working with. My heart is to penetrate into the community, take the gospel in a very practical way into the community. In a third world countries, this is very effective, very needed. It's good to say Jesus loves them, but to show them how Jesus loves them is very effective. That's why all the medical teams that came that did that. So ministry has so many wings, branches, and we appreciate your prayers for that. With the orphanages, we prepare like 5,000 meals a day. Every day. And I was grown up as a man, as a boy who had no food for 3-4 days in a week, to the point I was left to die on the streets with the starvation, until a Baptist missionary from Canada came and found me like a dead kid in the middle of the road, picked me up, took me to the hospital. You can read that in the book. Buy the book, please.
And there are now 5 children's homes?
We have the 5 children's homes in different locations. No, when we touch the children, you are touching the community. And, maybe we never did that before. John Butler actually started it 2 years ago in Virginia Beach there. And we were actually thinking it would be very practical for us financially also, if people can sponsor them. Maybe like $20 a month will help them, food, accommodation, education, everything. We never did that before, but we see the need for that, where people can relate personally with the children. You can write them for 3 months. You know, we won't be able to give you information for every month, but at least for once in a 3 month, we could be able to write to you. These children are beautiful, wonderful children, very smart children. Because they have no opportunities, they could not able to come up. My desire is not just to give them education and health and food, but to give them Jesus. I see the future Christian missionaries. That's my desire. It's a long term, to train them and bring them up, but it's worth doing. The children, which we took them first batch, they're already in their colleges and serving the Lord. Some of them are pastors today in the churches. So that's my heart for their children. Not only just to take care of their physical needs, but to help them spiritually and bring up a generation of Christians in the days to come. Training up leaders, Christian leaders for the future. So appreciate your prayers and help in that.
And just understand, as a church, our vision of missions is really, this really fits well with us, which has to do with church planting. And also not just trying to send a bunch of Americans abroad for a couple of weeks, which is fine. Ultimately, though, in a nation, it's the raising up of indigenous pastors,
yes,
of the people from that country. And when we can come alongside of love and care and support them in what they're doing, they're raising a whole generation of people who will be very effective, who will be the pastors and evangelists, not just some people traveling across an ocean to visit. And while it may be a great experience for us, ultimately, the hard work of evangelism and church planting is done by those men that are there, and we want to come alongside and support them. So tell us a little bit about the tribal outreach.
These are the unreached tribal groups that live on the mountains. Some of them are still naked. They hunt the animals with bow and arrow, and they have different dialects. They don't have a Bible to their language yet. So I went first time to those areas. I was invited by a pastor there. Going by a scooter, saw the first tribal man coming down from the mountains carrying a big log of wood on his head. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord was prompting me to share the gospel with him. So I thought, he's just one tribal man. Maybe he doesn't understand my language. I ignored. Honestly, I passed him by. But the Spirit of the Lord is not like us. He compelled me to go back. I turned my scooter back, went to him, and I asked him, "Do you know Jesus?" And he said, "There is no village by name Jesus anywhere here. Go further and inquire, you may find it." And this man never heard the name of Jesus. He doesn't know the name of Jesus is the name of the village or a thing. So it really, broke my heart, and I shared the gospel with him. As I was sharing with him a few words, about Jesus, what Jesus has done on the cross, I saw the tears coming down from his eyes. And so I know the Spirit of the Lord started working in his heart. And I shared the gospel. I asked him, "Do you want this Jesus?" He said, instead of saying yes or no, he said, "I wish somebody should have told me earlier than you about this good Jesus." And then he said, "How can I deny this Jesus?" I prayed with him, And that's the day I prayed, Lord, send me to these people. I want to go to them. Give me love for them. And there's a people created in the image of God. People that live like us, but never heard the name of Jesus even once in their lives. The Lord was gracious to me to put love in my heart for them, give me vision for them. So these are all the mountain people, actually. We call them mountain people. Even they were looked down by the people also. Many Indian culture, they don't consider them as a human beings because they live in the mountains. So the Lord really put those people in my heart, and we have been working with them. Now we planted 300 churches just on those mountains among those tribal people, and training them to be the pastors. And we went to over 5,000 villages, every village, sharing this good news, sending teams after teams. Every year, the month of April, that April month, every year is just for the tribal outreach. 200 people, 250 people, we send them out to every village to preach the gospel. Then we come up with a church plant in those areas. Now, I really appreciate your prayers for them. Now, they're great people. Once they believe in Jesus, they give their hearts to the Lord, we have never seen them going back. And they're excommunicated from their own people. There were certain people who were killed because of their faith in Jesus. From our people, there are some people who are killed because they believed in Jesus. They go through a lot of physical persecution, but they stand for the truth of the gospel. And now the tribal people are reaching their own tribes. That's why we could able to make such a big impact in those tribal areas. All the tribal pastors, all these 300 churches in that area, all the pastors are the tribes. We taught them, gave them the language, they read the Bible now, and they share the Bible, and we bring the children from the tribal areas to Vishakhapatnam to give them education so that we can send them back to their own people to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's very challenging, but very rewarding. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that God will choose me for a ministry like that, which nobody wants to go. It's hard. It's difficult. And I really appreciate your prayers for that.
Thank you for responding to his call. We are, and having been there, not been to a lot of tribes, but just I've been to a few villages, but just this is significant work. I've had the privilege to address about over 300 pastors at a pastor's conference, and just to try to equip them. If there was any contribution we perhaps could make. Believe me, when you go there, you're not thinking, well, we've really got it together and these poor people don't. Really, that's the furthest thing from your mind. These guys are full of faith, full of their prayer lives. They're up. You're awakened in the morning by the sound of the
5 o'clock in the morning, all the children.
Yes, praying. And
all the children, they get up at 5 o'clock in the morning for 1 hour prayer.
Yeah.
They pray for America every day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you'd be quite humbled. Yes, thank you. Be quite humbled to be in that situation. But if there is any contribution we can make in terms of teaching, equipping pastors, we're of course very ready to do that. But it has been a real privilege to see these men and talk with them who have suffered greatly. One final thing. I know that you showed pictures on the video at the end. When I was there, it was just ground with a little bit of grading done. It's the area for the new hospital. Give us the status on that. And then we're going to give you all an opportunity to contribute to Love and Care. But I want you to hear at the end what Yesupadam has in mind for the hospital and how we can be a part of that.
When we have the medical teams from Sovereign Grace Ministries, we go to the villages. The reason is many of them could never go to see a doctor in their lives. Because to go see a doctor, you'd have to have a money. Many people don't have that. So everywhere we went, we come up with a church plant. Because medical ministry was so effective, it touches the lives of the people. In a very practical way, we come up with the church plants. One of the reasons I started the medical ministry was, when I was 16, my mom died. My dad could never able to take her to the hospital She was suffering with a pain in her left knee, and she was used to cry with pain, couldn't see the doctor. She died in the house, just crying with the suffering. That really was hard to me, to see that happening. That's why I turned against God, turned against people involved in gangs and killing people. I was angry. And God somehow helped me through this Baptist missionary to go for a medical training. I'm a lab technician. I worked for the hospitals for several years. And after I became a Christian, the Lord laid these people, needy people. My mother itself, my first wife passed away with cancer. Everything I'm doing is what I have gone through. I wanted to help at least some people in India with the medical. So I prayed we started a medical hospital. Now we have a three-storied building with a 25-bedded hospital. But I wanted to train some of our children as doctors, nurses, pharmacists. So to have that, we need a bigger hospital. I prayed and God really provided us 5 acres of land. In India, 5 acres of land, now it costs $10 million. Land is very expensive. But government provided me that land only for $85,000. I'm a millionaire now, you understand that? We have 5 acres of land that cost $10 million. But we got it only for $85,000. Totally provided, God provided, we bought the land. And that mountain, government never sells mountains. They are like a government property. I don't know what happened. I prayed, God showed me that mountain. I approached the government, they sold me for that. And we did we spent around $300,000 on that to level part of the mountain. And to level it, to build the wall around it, I put the gate, we made the plans. I want to do 5 things there. 100-bedded hospital, prayer mountain, 24-hours prayer tower, and a home for the mentally retarded children, and a home for the aged, and a staff housing. And all these 5 big projects, 100-bedded hospital is a huge project. It is estimated it would cost us $1.7 million. It's a lot of money. And $1.7 million to complete that. I've been praying, friends, for the last 2 years. That's on my heart, and I would really appreciate if you can pray for that and help us with whatever way you can. And I would be greatly appreciate that. That's on my heart. I've been praying for 2 years. There were times I was a little discouraged, but I know God is able. God will do that. And God, it's nothing for God. But for an Indian, untouchable kid like me, it's like a lot of money.
It's a lot of money anywhere. Well, folks, let's prepare to give an offering and just give you some direction here. Still make the check out to Sovereign Grace Church. And this marked down, and the ushers are going to take this up. All that is collected here will go in one check to Yesu Padam as soon as this meeting's over. So I need you to prepare right now, and just as the Lord would lead you to make out that amount. And again, I want to encourage you. What you're giving to here is someplace we have been to, we have seen, we have participated with them. We have seen the way that those who lead live. They live in a very appropriate manner. They're not sending money to someone that's living in a palace somewhere. Not at all. Yesu Padam, when he comes to America and churches contribute, this becomes the means of living for hundreds of pastors that are in the tribal area. So your money goes, we'll get more value for a dollar given here than just about any other situation that I've been associated with or heard of. And that's why we don't hesitate to commend to you to give and direct. And we, on a regular basis, we have people who give to Love and Care on a regular basis, and we just set it aside. And when Yesu Padam comes to town, we give it to him. So if you can give now, you can continue to give on a regular basis, and knowing that we will direct that to Yesu Padam, to Love and Care Ministries. Well, let's direct our hearts to the Lord. I want to pray for Yesu Padam and for Love and Care. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for just to hear of the good works that you are doing in India. And Lord, we lift up our brother Yesu Padam and Monica and their family and the Love and Care Ministries. And we pray, Lord God, that you would, by the Spirit, cause this year to be a great year for Love and Care. That there would be people affected by the gospel. Lord, I ask you to, just in Visakhapatnam, that you would build that church there, that you would bless those who work in the small hospital and all those who labor in education. Lord, we lift up the children's homes, all of those hundreds of children that I've walked the floors and seen sleeping on concrete floors, and yet they are so well cared for. Lord God, we ask for your favor on their ministry. We pray for health to abound. That many people together and that much in India, the amount of illness. Lord, we pray that you would protect them. Pray that you would keep them from sickness. We pray that you would cause them to prosper spiritually most of all. That this would be a year of spiritual growth, of increased love and increased commitment to you and your purposes. Lord, we do pray that among the young men that are there, that you would raise up church planters, and you would raise up men and equipped for the work of the ministry, whether pastoral or evangelistic or whatever you would have for them. Lord, we pray for a work among the school and the children's homes there. Lord, have your hand on them. Pray for those that work there, that you would watch over and care for them. I pray for Samson, who leads much of that. Lord, pray, and Sunita, we pray your blessing on them. We pray for the churches in the tribal areas, and John Frederick and all those who labor among the tribal areas, that you would watch over and keep them. Keep them from persecution. Keep them in the midst of trial and tribulation and suffering, Lord. We pray that the name of Jesus would be lifted up. And Lord, we pray that above all, even if there is suffering, Lord, we pray that the name of Jesus Christ would be lifted up, yes, and you would be exalted, yes, in these churches, yes, and that you would be glorified in the ministry of Love and Care. Yes, Father, I lift up Yesu Padam and Monica and Bethany and Benjamin as they travel. Pray that you'd watch over and keep them safe in these coming weeks and all the places they'll travel. And Lord, I pray an abundant supply of their need. Pray this for finances to come in and for Christians to be generous. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to come alongside, co-laboring with you, co-laboring with Yesu Padam and all of the brothers and sisters that are there. And Lord, we ask that as we send him off with this offering today, that you would cause this to multiply to much fruitfulness in India. And Lord, we pray for Yesu Padam as he tries to get the hospital built. Lord God, that you would grant him favor with the government officials there. Grant him finances that he would be able to get the hospital built and to equip it with all of the necessary equipment. Lord, it's beyond me, Lord, but it's not beyond you.
Yes, Lord.
You are able to supply, even as we are encouraged today with prophetic words. You are our supply,
yes,
and we will trust in you.
Yes.
And we will not be anxious. But in all our ways, we will commit them unto you. And we will seek first the kingdom of God, knowing that you'll take care of all of these other things. And Lord, we commit Yesu Padam and Love and Care Ministries unto you. We ask your blessing upon them. We ask that as we send them with this offering, that this would be just another of many to come. And that there would be, again, much fruitfulness. That the gospel would be preached. That lives would be changed. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as the brothers take up the offering, just tell us what your itinerary is. You're going from here, and then you're going to be preaching in South Carolina.
Yeah, I will be next Sunday. I will be preaching in Supply, North Carolina, and from there we'll be going to Vermont. From Vermont to Texas,
from Vermont to Texas.
Texas to Chicago. She then to Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, and California. Then Vancouver, Canada, Winnipeg. My wife's family lives there. And then back to India.
Pray for him. Now listen, I've driven with Yesupadam in India. And I'm convinced if you can drive in India and survive, you can drive anywhere. It's one of the most amazing sights you've ever seen. But this is a different kind of driving, and so Monica's doing a lot of it. So we do pray for God's blessing. I'll just tell you a story. When I got off the plane at Visakhapatnam and Yesupadam, I thought, well, I'm going to die here. This is it, Lord. I mean, Cassie's back here. My children are here. But I'm going to die in East India, and I'm glad to do it, Lord, but it looks like it's soon. There were cars coming at us from every direction. There were different assorted vehicles. There were three-wheel motorized rickshaws with maybe 7-8 people hanging on them. And there were buses with people hanging on the doors and off the back and up. And so it was a little bit different. And
hey, let them come and see. Don't tell them
okay.
Everything. Plan for your team.
And everybody toots their horn as they go. And the biggest vehicle, I think, has the right of way. So
right. That's
what I learned. Well, has everyone had a chance to give? Okay, well, let's stand. We have kept our children's ministry workers a long time. Please make sure you thank them. Father, we ask your blessing upon you again, Yesupadam, and all of us here. Lord, may we go and may we be like the blind man who can't stop telling people that once I was blind, but now I see. May that be our theme, Lord, and may we be bold to do it and always giving thanks to you in Jesus' name. You are dismissed.